Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth, here with Michael P. McCarthy. Whoa, there goes my microphone. Here with Michael P. McCarthy, and tonight we are on an open show, Michael.
An open show is our favorite show.
Open shows, our favorite shows, and hopefully they're your favorite shows, our listeners, because this is the opportunity for you to be the guest, for you to call in and say, this is the topic I want to talk about, and if you could help me with this and answer this question for me, it would do a tremendous service to my personal financial planning. And by the way, I'll bet you there's a bunch of other people would like to hear the answer to that question also. So if you want to call in and ask that question, 410-922-6680. Remember, if you don't call in, I got to talk to Michael all night.
He's already done that all day. And, you know, he honestly would rather answer your questions than small talk with me on financial planning topics.
Well, we're here. We'll either talk about some things that we feel in general will be beneficial to you. But if you call in 410-922-6680, if you want to address a topic that's near and dear to your heart that you want to have addressed. So, Michael, we talked this morning to Sean Casey about, parent aging and needing care possibly. And then we also, maybe you have a spouse that something's going wrong and you're trying to keep that spouse with you because you feel that's the best thing for them. These are very difficult subjects, not only from an economic point of view, how the heck are you going to pay for all this, but also the psychological and emotional side of the situation.
Yeah, you and I have both had personal experience as well as experience with clients. And, one of the things that I really make a huge point out of when we're talking to some of our post-retirement clients is I say, hey, one of the hardest things for a child to help you with that situation is to make decisions for you because you're not going to like that very much. So why don't you make the decisions yourself, make your own plans, you do it on your terms.
Yeah, but the problem is that most people don't want to, when they age and they get to that state, let's say they're in their late 80s or early 90s, they're going to bunker down and they're going to say, I need to stay in this house. This is where I want to be. It is a totally irrational decision, but people believe that because they seem perfectly rational, that they're making a rational decision. And I find that usually to be not the case. In other words, they're talking from emotion, not logic. And that when they do get the care that they need in a thoughtful facility, they actually come to life health-wise much better. You actually had that experience for your own mother, right?
I did. She had a pretty progressive downward spiral. She unfortunately was a young age, but just the mind didn't hold up. But the first year and a half she was there before her body started catching up with her mind. I mean, she was doing more things than she ever had. She was living independently. She had her car. She had her own door. She didn't have to go through anywhere because there's all kinds of facilities. They don't all look the same.
Right. Where are we? You have a caller?
I do. And actually, that's a great point. Let's go right to Rebecca in Littlestown who wants to talk about executing a will.
Rebecca, how can we help you?
Yes, because part of my problem is I had a friend and, it was one thing after another. And I was wondering, when you say, in a will, does it have to be exactly what it says or not? And, I want to help her because, she has a lawyer, and it's just one thing after another because coronavirus things were, delayed and everything else. I just want to ask you, what exactly is when you have a will, what the procedure is?
Well, that's a general question. I mean, technically, The courts have upheld a person writing something on a napkin and signing it with a couple people nearby saying, yes, that was definitely him that signed that. So a will does not have to be incredibly legalized, complex wording. It just has to be, you know, a true statement, a true testament of what the person wants. And then it has to be executed in the manner that the state requires. Now, Maryland just requires two adult witnesses. You get two adult witnesses that aren't part of the will, and Maryland will accept it if you can show that it is a valid testament of the person's last will or last wishes, et cetera, et cetera. Pennsylvania, I think Pennsylvania may require a notary, but I don't know that for a fact. So, you know.
The thing is, you know, you don't want to lead with the napkin. You want to lead with a real document that a lawyer.
Right.
But and one of the big reasons, one of the things to talk about here is that so that family members don't contest it. You want to make sure you leave something so you don't leave a fight.
Right.
Wait, can I ask you something? And I don't want to like stop you short, but I've given my my family members copies of my will. Is that like the horrible thing to do? I mean, I just
it's actually can be a very wise thing to do. Now remember, a will can only be one original executed document. Okay, yeah. You can have hundreds of copies, but only one original. Now, the problem with giving too many copies of your will out is if you change it and all those people that you had said maybe something was coming to them is no longer coming to them, you know, that could get contentious. But it actually is best to be as transparent with the people you're going to be leaving things with, and that's the way to prevent fights. And that way you can see exactly how people are going to react to the decisions you made in your will, and then that gives you plenty of opportunity to you know, oversee what you really want to do to protect the family. But right now, I Mikey, we got to go to a traffic, right?
Yes, we are.
So thank all right, you for Rebecca, your question. Thank you. We're on an open show, 410-922-6680.
We'll be back with more Money, Riches, and Wealth.
Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the financial consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Love me tonight, Tom Jones. I mean, I'm tired of you thinking I don't know these things.
I think he's just found the magic playlist. Did you feed him the playlist?
I just wanted
Chris
to prove to him. I'm just going to prove to him that I know a lot more about music than he probably even forgot.
Wait, everybody, I can see Drew's office from where I am through a video cam, and there's a book on the shelf, Contemporary Music for Dummies. What's that about?
I've been studying, Mike.
All right. Well, listen, we don't want to waste any more time. It is an open show, so keep calling in, 410-922-6680. But without further ado, Bob and Timonium, you wanted to talk about investments.
Yes, my wife and I are still working 70. I am at 269. We contribute monthly to 401s and things like that. Anyway, long story short, every time we try to think about looking what we can do when we do retire and keep our money safe that we have set aside, it seems like all the investment, not just shows, but the people that we listen to are always pushing, everybody's pushing annuities. I'm not really that happy or really comfortable with that. Is there anything else besides, you know, the stocks and mutual funds that somebody can use to have some kind of return and be conservative enough that it's not going to be a loss, because we all got hit 2008. Annuities seem like you're always locked into one way or the other, and you can't get your money out when you want to if you.
Well, let me explain something, okay? So you got hit in 2008, right? But
like most, right?
But the account came back, right?
Yeah, of course, it's all back. We're in very good shape actually right now.
And that's happened many times throughout the last 200 years of the history of the country. It goes down and it comes back. Even during the Great Depression, it went down and it came back. The key is, Mike, is that you have a portion of your money that is always safe, that you can get to when the market goes down, and that's the money you draw on during those down periods until the recovery takes place, and then you stop drawing against that safe money and you switch back over to your equity portfolio. I mean, that's the way you want to do it. The only reason you hire an insurance company is A, and if you hire an insurance company to do an annuity, is A, you want to make the insurance agent a lot of money because they make like 10% commission on that stuff. And the insurance company strips all the profit out of the annuity and then, you know, and says to you, here, you know, Mike, I'll let you withdraw 5% a year for the rest of your life, no matter what. Even if the account goes down to zero, you're going to get to keep drawing 5%. Well, you know, what they don't say is that if you do the math and you say, I've got $1 million in my account, if I give it to the insurance company, they're going to let me draw $50,000 a year forever and ever. Well, you know, guess what? That's, $50,000 a year. That's 10, 20, 20 years. You can draw your own money before the insurance company has any risk that they have to give you any profit on your withdrawals. And that's how those annuities work.
The 10 penalty for withdrawing, taking out.
Those penalties are just to repay the insurance company for giving the agent a 10% commission selling it to you. And the insurance company says, if you take this money away from us before that 10 years is up, we're going to take it out of your hide, not our hide, to give that agent that 10% commission we gave them. That's all about.
But you say for ups and downs, safe money. What's your definition of safe money?
Good bond investments, some cash investments, some bond investments. You know, you look for investments that you know aren't in here. We just did a talk on this today.
I was thinking about.
It's called volatility, and volatility is critical in your portfolio. If you want to make a good rate of return, you have to accept some form of volatility. And today in the low interest rate environment of bonds, if you don't accept the volatility of the stock market, you're condemned to losing out over the period of time. You're probably going to run out of money if you're too conservative, unless you just turn it to an insurance company and say, I don't care if there's anything left when my kids inherit the money. I just want to know that my wife and I will get our $50,000 a year in my earlier example. You know, I wish there's an easy answer to your question. There isn't. You have to accept volatility. You have a hunk of safe money. You figure out, Mike and I would do is we'd sit down and figure out exactly what you need to live on for a certain period of time. And we'd always have about 4 or 5 years of that cash available in safe investments so that we can draw upon them if we have to until equity markets recover.
What do you think about, like, say, prices? We have quite a bit in T. Rowe Price tax exempt Maryland funds. And
yeah, that's a bond fund. That would be a relatively safe fund.
Okay, thank you.
All right, buddy. You take care. Good question. There's no easy answer to his question. You know, you really have to look at it personally.
Absolutely. And I think what I just want to reiterate before we go to our next caller is when Drew says accept volatility, it's more than just ignoring it. It's really saying I understand it and I accept it and I'm not going to let it dictate my actions.
Yeah.
So before I get too philosophical here, let's go right to Mike in Westminster, who has a Social Security question.
Yeah, hi, guys. It's Mike. Yeah.
Got a question concerning taking Social Security. Both my wife and I are both working. I'm 66. She's 65. Now, next year, she'll reach her full retirement age. Her birthday is in August. That means, I think, December, 66 and 4 months for her. We're thinking of her taking her Social Security beginning in January. I think the dollar amount you're allowed in that year is to make up to $50,000 or something like that. Is that correct?
When did she hit her full retirement age?
Well, she'll hit it next December, not this year, but this.
Oh, okay, next December, December of 2022. So you're right. She can earn about $50,000 next year without losing any payback. And does she make that much in a year?
It'll be close. And that was the question. If she's real close, is there something you can do as far as right now she's in a 401k at her work. She's taking it all as a Roth contribution.
Well, I mean, the one thing you could do is just... because they don't, even if you did pre-tax, that still counts against you. So what you could do is just wait a month or two more, and start in March instead of starting in January, because it's the same $50,000 starting in March to the day she actually hits her full retirement age. It just depends on when you start collecting. That's the key.
Well, here's a question too now. Okay, so whether we decide on January or March, what is the dollar amount calculation based on her monthly Social Security? Is it based on the end of this year, whatever she's earnings are?
It'll be based on the earnings that she has that they have recorded at the time that she comes in, and then they'll adjust it when they get the next ones in. They'll just keep adjusting it.
Okay.
So that's how it works. And remember also that in the year you hit your full retirement age, they only take $1 for every $3 over $50,000. So, and remember also, even if they take any of it back, she'll actually get it adjusted into her Social Security check when she does hit her full retirement age.
Okay.
So, whether you claim in January, if you just wait until March or February, you're probably right, and it'll probably work perfectly.
Okay, and what do you have to enroll probably, 4 months ahead of time? So I think we're talking...
You can enroll, if you're going to do it in January, you can enroll in November, and you do it online. We do it for our clients together with them online all the time.
Okay, all right, well, I can, maybe I'll... play it safe, you're right, and maybe wait till February, March, because it's actually close to what she'll be making.
Don't forget that even if they take it back, they're going to just readjust her once she hits her full retirement. It's not a penalty. It's just saying, hey, we didn't want you to take this right away because you're earning too much money,
Right.
And then they give it back to you, all right?
Yeah, and I just saw this. Also, do they calculate it up through, like in this case, it will be up through November? They'll calculate how much... earnings, isn't it, like the month prior to your full retirement age that they figure out, okay, how much your earnings are, and then your...
No, like I said, they're going to calculate based on what they know at the time she applies, and then every time her new earnings come in, they'll readjust her Social Security check.
Okay, very good.
All right.
Well, thank you so much. Thanks so much.
All right. Take care. Bye. What are you doing, Mikey?
We have one caller. We're going to get to Jay right after we go to the news break, and we'll be right back with more Money, Riches, and Wealth.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we are back with more Money, Riches, and Wealth. It's an open show tonight, so make sure you call in. It's 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. But without further ado, let's take it away with Jay in Wesley.
Wait a minute. We got to tell Chris that was Give Me Love, Peace on Earth,
Oh, gosh.
All right, go ahead.
All right, Jay in Westminster, how can we help you talk about long-term care?
Yes, I was listening to the promo this morning on Sean Casey's show.
And yep.
My attention was caught by somebody mentioned long-term care this morning. And it just so happens that I'm going through a real predicament with my long-term care policy.
Oh.
I bought it 18 years ago, and I bought it the best I could buy at the time. I got the Genworth.
Let me guess. You got Genworth.
You got it.
Yeah, and you've got a real issue now, don't you? You got a real problem.
And I at the time, I opted for the inflation benefit, and I also have the unlimited benefit period and the unlimited lifetime benefit.
Yeah, well, you see, what happened with Genworth is that they made a lot of bad decisions back in the 2000s as to how to price those policies. And then when the 2008 crash came, Genworth almost went under. And the only thing that saved them from not going under was a Chinese company who stepped in and said they wanted to buy them. But, of course, you know, the regulators, you know, had a hard time with that. And, you know, la-di-da-di-da, and after a dance for about 6 years, ultimately the Chinese company backed out, and then a private equity company took Genworth over with the promise from the insurance commissioners that they could either raise the premiums astronomically, like you're getting notice of, or, you know, they'll cash out the policyholders and they'll give them back some cash. And that's what you're stuck with now. You've got an option of either taking some cash or no more premium payments and a small benefit, or you can have your same policy. You're just going to have to pay them like, I think it was a 70% premium increase?
No, they said possibility of up to 314%.
Yeah, it was like 70% a year for numerous years. So
one question I had, and someone told me in Maryland that they limit increases to 15%. Is that correct?
They may want to, but in this situation, I don't think they're going to be able to, or either that or Genworth in Maryland is going to go under. And I'm sure the insurance commissioner isn't going to be happy if Genworth in Maryland goes under, and then they have to figure out how to potentially bail it out. So if they even could. So I think that the Maryland insurance, I don't know for sure, because I haven't talked to the Maryland insurance commissioner. But I think this is a deal that was made with the National Alliance of Insurance Commissioners. I think. I don't know that for an exact quote. Maybe there's something in the insurance commissioner's office that's listening and could call in and tell us what. Or maybe we ought to have somebody on next week, do like a 10-minute on this, because I think there's a lot of people out there stuck with those Genworth policies.
Yeah, I know. Here in Westminster, that there was a lot of these sold by an individual who's since left the area. He retired and left the area, and now we're all stuck with this. But
yeah, we warned a lot of our clients back in the 2000s to be very careful of GE Life and Genworth and so forth, that if you feel it's the only one you can go with, then okay. But, you know, we don't sell it, so we could just give people our opinion.
Yeah, well, I bought it in 2003, and at the time, the best information I could get was it was one of the top rated.
Yeah, well, you got to understand that rating agencies are pitiful. I could tell you story after story of rating agencies, rating companies, AA and AAA, and 2 months later going bankrupt. I mean, you know, that's how pitiful the rating agencies are. So.
Well, the other thing was it was owned by General Electric, nobody knew what was going to happen to them.
Yeah, well, you know, but it was back in the 2000s that we were telling clients, you have to be careful. I don't care what they said in the ratings. You could tell, because if you looked at the premiums they were charging compared to others, you had to say something was up.
All right, I have intel.
Okay.
Intel, what do you have?
I have intel. So for 2021, but wait till you hear the punchline, the Maryland Insurance Commission approved a 26.6% rate increase for most policyholders with policies with issue age 7, for most policyholders. I think if you were older than 70 at issue, then
is that including the Genworth, or is
this
that
is
all
specific
policies
to Genworth?
Now, this is specific to Genworth. Okay.
The rate increase for that they approved is being phased in over 2 years at 12.5% in year one and 12.5% in year two. And this is compared to the company's requested 66.3% increase.
So, you know, there. But, you know, what will happen is possibly they'll just say, we don't want to, you know, we're just going to default on the policies in Maryland and call it a day. You never know. So the insurance commissioner's got a dance that he's got to do with these guys and see if he can make it work.
Well, they offer five different options, and one of them, they let you keep the inflation benefit, but they take away the unlimited.
The one client that we have that had a Genworth policy, we told them to keep the policy. And the one thing you can do is, I don't know what your monthly benefit is now, but if it's a lot, you could drop it down a little, or you could drop your inflation index down a little, and that would save you some premium dollars.
Yeah, well, I'm not worried about the premium rate the way it was, but I'm worried about that fact they could raise it to 314% in the future.
Well, unfortunately, your policy came with a provision that the premium can escalate over time. So
yeah,
there was no guarantee.
The guy told it to me, told me that. He said, but usually they don't raise it much.
Yeah, well, you know, that was the day before insurance companies realized that people are living longer and keeping their long-term care policy.
Yep.
But what about the options? One that it cuts your, like, the daily benefit. Mine had increased to $288 a day. They want to cut that back to the $120, which was the original amount back 18 years ago.
I don't think anybody should drop anywhere below $200 a day.
Okay.
You know, I mean, much below that, and, you know, you might as well not even have a policy.
Right.
I shouldn't say that, but, I mean,
I understand.
$200 a day is $72,000 a year, and $72,000 will get you at least assisted living in a good portion of your long-term care facilities.
Okay, well, two of their options, they left it at one's 216, one's 217. I don't know why the dollar difference, but that with those they take away the unlimited benefit periods.
Yeah, well, you don't need an unlimited benefit period. You need about 5 years, because if somebody goes into a long-term care facility, at the end of 5 years, we could be able to figure out how to get them onto Medicaid.
Okay.
All right?
All right. One last question. They don't tell me anywhere whether, like, the new rate, you know, premium, annual premium that they give, they don't tell that... if that's going to go up just like with the 314%, just like your present premium.
Well, you just heard Mike say that the insurance commissioner of Maryland has said that they're only going to let them do a certain amount of increases at this point in time. So
is that 26% a year?
That was a 26% increase requested now that Maryland said you can have over this year and next year.
Wow, that's that's major when you got a. My premium was $5,300 this year, so you had 26% 2 years in a row. I'm out of business on it, I guess.
Well, we got to go right now, Jay. Good question, and
I hope you can do that special next week.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if we can do. Okay.
You're just on Thursdays. I mean
Wednesday night.
Wednesdays?
That's the only night we're on, sir.
Okay.
Yes.
I'll listen.
All
to
right.
That. Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
Take care. Mikey, what's going on? Anybody else out there?
Well, we do have one caller we can try to go to and get started. And I'll remind everybody that it's an open show. There's no other callers after we get to Mike, who've already brought on the line. But it's 410-922-6680. Mike, we may have to carry you over till after the break, but let's get started. What's your question?
My question is, I'm 64. I've worked all my life. My wife, I don't think she qualifies for any Social Security. I'm planning to work till I'm 70, and I was wondering, would my wife get half of my Social Security when I apply?
Yes, she'll get half of yours, but she'll only get half of your full retirement age Social Security benefit, which is what you would have gotten at 66 and 6 months. Whereas if you wait until you're 70, you're going to get about a 30% increase in your Social Security amount from your full retirement age to age 70. So therefore, your wife is going to get half of what it would have been at 66 and 6 months.
Oh, okay.
Now, what you should do, is go and see if she's qualified for any Social Security right now. And if she is, to go ahead and apply. But if she's totally not, she's got to wait until you're 70 to apply. All right?
Yeah, and her age is 60.
Okay, well, she's a little younger, so we got time to go. So that works, you know, because you'll be 68 and she'll be 64, right? All right, we got to go. We got to go back, and we're going to take a traffic pause. But if you want to call 401-922-6680, and we'll be right back. Money, Riches, and Wealth.
Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate, saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the Financial Consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE, or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Yep, he thought he had me this time. Heat wave, the Vandals.
So noticeable. That was, I don't think
that was
that
so easy.
Out of the blue.
That was very easy.
Chris says it wasn't perfect.
It wasn't perfect anyway. So next week, maybe he'll give me his best shot, and he thinks that I was, you know, he says, no, I know he doesn't know anything about music. Well, I do, and I've proven it to you so far tonight, and I will prove it to you for every week from now on. Anyway, let's go to our next caller, Mike.
Absolutely. So, George in Glen Burnie, you had a question about Social Security?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I am 71 years old. I started collecting my Social Security at age 70. I did that because I knew it would max out at that point.
Okay.
I am also an active federal employee. I'm still working, and I'm under the old CSRS retirement system.
Okay.
I know that my Social Security will go down upon retirement when I start collecting my CSRS pension.
That's not necessarily true.
Elimination provision.
That's not necessarily true. How did you get approved for Social Security?
Well, I mean, how did I get? I had 40 quarters before I went into federal government.
When did you? Well, you obviously went into federal government early because you're CSRS person. So you just did 40 quarters like, you know, as a college kid and a couple other things. And
yeah,
so you're.
And I was in the military.
Okay.
And I worked for a contractor for a while before I went into civil service.
Okay. So how much are you getting from Social Security right now?
The gross, I think, is around $1,300 a month.
Yeah, so you probably will get wept to some degree. Yeah, but you know there are plenty of people on Social Security and CSRS pensions who don't get any offset. And the reason is because their Social Security that they paid in was at such a high rate that they fully qualified for the highest amount of Social Security. And are you familiar with why they do the windfall elimination provision? Most people aren't. They have a sense
it's because they don't want you collecting more than one federal pension.
No, that's not the reason. That's a theory, but that's not a true statement. So let me explain. Social Security is not a pension plan. Social Security is social insurance, okay? Social insurance means that people are paying into the system, And those that pay in a lot and they had high income, they're going to get a very small percentage back of what they put into the system. People who paid in a little and had very low incomes, they're going to get a big bonus on their income, because the concept of Social Security is to keep them out of poverty. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Now, think about it from your point of view, George. You worked and you had low income. So you're getting a Social Security check, and they're saying to George, wait a minute, George, you're low income. We've got to give you more money because your income was so low. If we don't give you more, you're going to live in poverty throughout the rest of your retirement. But then all of a sudden, George says, well, wait a minute, I'm also a CSRS pension guy, and I get this, you know, $50,000, $100,000 pension from the federal government, and I never paid a nickel into Social Security for this. And they stop and they say, well, wait a minute, why are we giving George a boost on his Social Security check? He's not living in poverty in retirement. He's got a CSRS pension that he never paid in the system. So let's just recalculate George's Social Security check to line up more with what the guy who paid a lot of money into Social Security would have gotten, the smaller check. And that is what the windfall elimination provision is all about.
Okay.
I didn't hit any light bulbs there. You don't seem like, oh, wow, that makes a lot of sense. I wish I would have known that years ago.
It does, but before I work because I want to work. I have 42 years of federal service in.
In my opinion, you're being crazy not to collect your CSRS pension right now.
Yeah, but I want to work. But anyhow,
you can't collect your CSRS.
It's going to be close to $100,000. So,
but I'm saying you can.
How can I know before I retire? I want to know what kind of a hit I'm going to take. Exactly what kind of hit I'm going to take, if any, on my Social Security.
Here's my guess. Your $1,300 check is going to go down to about $800. That's my guess.
Okay.
I don't have it. I didn't calculate it out or anything. I could, but I didn't calculate it out. But just knowing how the system works, I'm going to guess your $1,300 check's going to go down to about $700 or $800.
So they're going to be $1,500. I'm clearing $970 because I have my Medicare Part B taken out. I have a survivor's benefit taken out, and I have 22% withholding of my federal income tax.
Well, you know, that's the best I could do for you. But, I think that it makes a lot of sense. But I got another caller I got to run to.
How can I find out? I mean, Social Security.
There's a calculator online you can pull up. It's called the WEP, Social Security Calculator. And you can put your numbers in, and it'll tell you exactly how much of your Social Security is going to be wept away from you. But my guess is it's going to be about $500 a month, okay?
Okay, thank you very much, sir.
See ya. Who are we going to, Mikey?
All right, we'll go straight to Jim in Ellicott City. Jim, how can we help you?
Yes, I've got a question about Social Security. I've put off collecting until I reach 70, which will be early next year, March timeframe. A friend of mine, she was telling me that when she turned 70 earlier this year, she was very confused as to when to start, when to go in and apply for Social Security. She said, she warned me, she said, Jim, be very careful when you go into the website. If you apply too early, they will cut off a year, and you've been waiting. Like me, you want to wait until you're 70.
I don't know what she's saying, but when you go in, you have to know how to deal with the application first off, because it can be a little clunky. Okay, so it's not user friendly necessarily.
Okay.
But when you go past your full retirement age, you always have the right to accept a 6-month back pay. So in other words, instead of taking your 70 Social Security check, you would take your 69 and a half Social Security check, and they would give you 6 months of back pay. Am I making myself clear?
First time I'm hearing of that.
Yeah, well, you know, but, you know, so you can always take a lump sum of 6 months back when you're past your full retirement age. So obviously, if you're at 70, you can do a back pay of 6 months. And actually, a lot of times it makes a lot of sense to take the lump sum, the 6 month lump sum. You're not giving up a lot of money per month for that 6 month lump sum. And but if you don't want to, all you got to do is say, I want my Social Security benefit check to start in the month I turn 70. You know, so when you get to that, when do you want your benefits to start? There's a little drop down and they'll give you every month. You can either go back pay 6 months before, or you can put in there the month that you're in. And so I'm not sure what she's talking about.
So
we do this all the time.
You actually enter your birth month?
No. You do it 2 months before.
That's what I thought.
You would apply. So that's when I would do it. So if you're turning,
you can apply 2 months before, and you can say, start sending me checks beginning my birth.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But I would also be very tempted to look at the lump sum for 6 months.
Oh,
all right,
okay.
Jim?
I'll look into that. Thank you.
I got to run.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye. Take care. Mikey, I'm going to leave.
All right. Well, that's all we have for tonight of Money, Riches, and Wealth.
And this is Drew Tignanelli from Florida saying God bless. What I'd like to do to you, shower the people you love with love. Show them the way you feel. Things are gone.